You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Internet world, yes, it is a good morning still. Internet world, West Alabama, how we doing today? On Monday, it's the first Monday in September, September 1st. Happy Labor Day to everybody who's enjoying a day off, or if you are at work because it's Labor Day, you got to labor on Labor Day. I hope you're enjoying yourselves as well. Thanks, everybody, for joining us on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. You guys are watching us on the Bama Central YouTube channel, right here on the Bama Central Facebook page, on my own social media machine, at Joe Gaither 6. You can find me right there or on your favorite podcast platform. Lots of you did that in August, and I cannot thank you enough for downloading, rating, subscribing, reviewing the show on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You can find the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. We're live in the Derek Daniel State Farm Studios. You can call Derek for all of your insurance needs at 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. Call and see how much he can save you today, whether it be home insurance, life insurance, renter's insurance, car insurance, motor's insurance, really everything in the insurance realm. You can call Derek Daniel and State Farm for that at 205-758-3391. Call and see how much Derek can save you today. We're live in the Derek Daniel State Farm Studios. God dang it, Theo. Every week I have to mute your computer for the double mic situation. Well, welcome in. We've got our man, Theo Fernandez. You follow him at Theo Fernandez, _ on the Twitter machine. And we're going to spend the day hopefully trying to make you feel a little bit better, maybe a little worse. You'll feel something in this hour because we're going to talk about Alabama's debacle down in Tallahassee, losing 31-17 to Thomas Castellanos, Mike Norvell, Gus Malzahn, and company. Tony White, too. Got to give Tony White and the defense a lot of credit to Florida State. But it did not get off to a good start. The Alabama football 2025 season did not get off to a good start. And we're going to spend the day talking about Ty Simpson, talking about the defense, talking about the offensive line, a little bit of Ryan Williams. What happened to Ryan Williams? We'll talk about a lot of different aspects. Did the running backs get enough carries on Saturday? Which running back impressed you the most? Obviously, with Jam Miller being out. And is the defense fixable for the next 11 games? We've got a lot of questions, a lot of things to get into for the weekend and from the game. You guys can leave us a comment at JoeGaither6. Give us a call on the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800. We've got two voicemails in the tank right now. We will get to those pretty much right off the bat after we find out if Theo Fernandez is alive and well. I know you went down to Tallahassee. Do you still have the war chant ringing in your ear? How are you and good morning?
Good morning, Joe. I quite simply never want to hear the war chant in any way, shape, or form.
It was 4 hours of it, right?
It did not stop. I walked in the stadium with Sam Holly, the gun, and we walked right in front of the band. They played the war chant out of the ground. Everyone was having a great time. Not to admit, about 5-10 seconds, 1 minute. It was objectively awesome to watch. You're in that stadium, and second down. Third down, fourth down, just every single big play, they're doing that war chant. I didn't realize it was going to be that regular.
Yeah.
Still ringing through my ears. Cannot forget. Trying to run it out of the stadium while everyone's still doing it. It was atrocious.
Oh, hold on. Yeah.
Continue.
It was just never been that annoyed at any particular sound or song or anything at any game ever. It was too much, man.
I told you, it was the entire time.
part of me is like, oh my gosh, I saw this coming. But part of this is like, I didn't. I mean, how much time in the summer did I spend on, it's going to be ugly, it's going to be hot, the war chant's going to be going, Gus Malzahn's offense, XYZ. Like, I stacked up a bunch, but I never thought that Alabama wasn't going to be able to overcome it. But I did think it was going to be some problems and some ugliness. But like, you get in there and you see Ty Simpson start to audible, and you can hear it on the TV. Oh, but then the decibel level just goes up even higher. Oh, it's just like the decibel level kept rising and rising, and it seemed to me that it really, really affected some things.
Just look at the way that Ty was running, trying to yell at people on those big plays. And you saw it from that false start on the third down on the first drive.
Which wasn't a false start.
Yeah, we didn't know what was going on in the stadium, but that's even worse.
It was a bad call. That was a bad call.
Regardless, it set the tone for what was going to be the problem, or I can't even say the problem, a problem for the entire game.
Absolutely. So we're live at the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios with Theo Fernandez, and we're going to break down Alabama's game. But you did make it back. You are in one piece. I'm glad to see you. You ready for a big week ahead? Because it's going to be weird. Alabama ULM on Saturday. You've got your second full week of your first real full week of class, right? Yeah. So no class. You're Tuesday, Thursday guy, aren't you?
I'm Tuesday, Thursday. So Labor Day doesn't even affect me.
All right. So you're going home and going to sleep.
Going home, going fishing.
Going fishing.
I need to clear my mind, get out into nature, and unwind a little after this weekend.
I'm sure that's what a lot of people did. When Alabama loses, my tendency is to just turn it off for the rest of the weekend. Is to just turn it off for the rest of the week. I had so many people send me messages and comments and DMs and questions and like people that I haven't heard from in ages. And it's like it happens every time Alabama loses. I have so many people that reach out. Oh man, not so good, Joe. Now isn't it? It's like, yeah, thanks, Billy Smith. I haven't heard from you in 4 years, but I hope you're doing well, too. Good to hear from you, sir. It never fails. Never fails.
Joe, I broke my phone, as anyone here can see, on Friday morning.
That was a blessing in disguise.
It was a blessing because I just know that when I finally get it fixed and all the messages come through, it is not going to be fun. But, yeah, I have been basically no contact with people. So if anyone's watching this and you've tried to text me, I did not see it. And I will respond to you on Wednesday when I have a new phone, and I'll probably be in a better mood about the game.
No, I don't think there's a way to get to a better mood. I know that's what we're supposed to be doing right here, is to like talk through it. But it was that ugly. It was that bad. What side do you want to start with? The offense or the defense?
Let's start with the defense.
No. What defense? What defense?
There's so much to pick apart no matter where we turn. So
Florida State with 230 rushing yards. What defense? 230 rushing yards. Let's see. That's comparative. I don't know about that. Yeah. 152 passing yards. Didn't even really get you in the air. 9 of 14. 14 passes. 14 passes. And they're taking care of business in emphatic fashion. 78 rushing yards for Castellanos, 56 yards for Mekhi Dansby, 31 yards for Usman Kroma. Our man Roydell Williams didn't even do anything. 14 rushing yards on 6 carries, but he did smash right through Deontay Lawson's face on 4th and 1. We need to start this day with having a conversation about Deontay, don't we?
We do.
Everything we heard all summer long was he's close to 100%, he's close to 100%, he's close to 100%. And we saw him on Saturday not look anything like 100% Deontay Lawson, not stepping into any holes, reacting, still doing the same stuff from last year, guessing in gaps, not playing with proper pad level, catching running backs as he caught Roydell Williams on that 4th and 1. Yeah, he tackled Roydell, but 4 yards down the field. I mean, he and Roydell met at the really at the line of scrimmage. Well, really a yard after the line of scrimmage, and Roydell said, I'm just going to fall forward for 3 more yards and take this 4th down and really kind of end the game, essentially. Keep the clock winding down. Was that what that was? Let me click on his stat broadcast, find exactly what that was. Yeah, 4th quarter, 4th and 1, 9:54 left to go. He smashes right through Deontay Lawson's face when Alabama really, really needed a stop. to give the offense one more chance. Just not a good performance at all from the defense, and in particular, the three inside linebackers, Deontay Lawson, Nakai Hill-Green, and Justin Jefferson, all playing flat-footed, all playing like they were guessing gaps, jumping in and out of gaps, not playing with proper... The pad level is what infuriated me. I mean, you're seeing the block go around social media where Justin Jefferson gets arc-blocked by a tight end. Tight end's kind of leaking out towards the bottom of the screen and just plants Justin Jefferson on it. No physicality from the inside linebacker room, Theo. None at all. And just drives me absolutely, just makes me sick and makes you not want to watch the game, because the defense, and in particular the heart of the defense, just playing with no oomph, no want to, no will.
Jefferson and Lawson just,
and Hill-Green too.
And yeah. There's so much that you look at from those guys versus when you look at how everything was set up, how everyone talked about everything heading into the year. For Lawson to come out and play like that, for Jefferson to come out and get outmanned like that, unacceptable.
Yeah, so that's what really going to be something to really consider for the rest of the year is because I think you have a real problem. I think you have a real problem at inside linebacker, and we were talking about it in the summer. How many shows do we waste, Theo, on what's your biggest concern for this team? And it's inside linebacker for me. Is Deontay Lawson healthy? Can Justin Jefferson play a full-time role? What is Nakai Hill-Green? And then all the youth behind him. You got lots of youth who are exciting. I mean, I'm excited about Caden Jones. He looks the part. He looks like an inside linebacker. I'm excited about the three freshmen they brought in, Luke Metz, Duke Johnson, and Abdul Sanders. I think that they have potential to be solid players. But let's be honest, they're young men. I was going to say children. That's too. That's too reactionary. They're young men. They're young guys. So they need time to marinate. They need time to really get some development. You're really leaning on these three guys, Deontay Lawson, Justin Jefferson, and Nakai Hill-Green, and they showed you in this first week that they are a liability on this defense.
Yes. I mean, especially Jefferson, Lawson, so much hype coming into this year. Coming back for, you know, final season. Even Jefferson, you go through this whole thing being so grateful. Oh, I got an extra year. I'm coming back. I'm going to put it all together this year.
But you're still light. You're still light.
And for the record, you're not even that fast.
Oh, like, he's fast.
Like, I know he's fast, but...
But he doesn't play fast. We'll say that.
That's a good way to put it, because he doesn't seem... You know, you can overcome a lot of things with incredible speed. You can overcome weaknesses in a lot of other areas, and that's what I thought we were going to get out of him against FSU and on the season.
Yeah, so Florida State, you're really using quarterback run as we predicted, as everybody and their mother knew was coming. They, you know, wide actions. They used, some speed sweeps, and they got out there on the edge. Quarterback reads all over the place. And just dominated Alabama's run game, and you didn't have proper fill in the run game from the secondary either. And all this talk about the secondary being the strongest group of the field, I mean, yeah, they only threw for 154. They were 9 of 14, so they completed their passes, but they obviously weren't throwing the football really down the field. They didn't have to throw the football down the field. So really, I mean, great job. You eliminated the big passing play. Well done. But you didn't fill the run game very well at all. And I know everybody's looking at the Bray Hubbard clip that's going around social media, but Bray and Keon both, and really Xavier Mensah didn't play the run very well. Bray's getting a lot of the attention because of the effort or lack thereof on the second touchdown run, yes, I believe it was, of the game.
As he should.
He should, of course. But really, as an entire defense, and thinking specifically the second and third levels, the linebacker and the secondary level, just played the run horribly the entire game. Didn't even look, you know, didn't look plugged in. Looked like they were on autopilot. Looked like they were running scrimmages. And I don't understand what has happened to this defense, Theo, to where the sense of urgency is absolutely gone. Is it the team not trusting the scheme? We don't think Kane Womack's calling us good plays. Maybe. Is it the team doesn't trust each other? We know Deontay Lawson's not going to be out there headhunting, smacking people around, so why should I try if teammate X, Y, or Z isn't getting it done? Is it not trusting their teammates? Is it not trusting their scheme? Is it, oh, the silly answer, it's NIL. Oh, NIL's ruined the game. No, everybody's getting NIL, and you see a lot of teams playing hard. Florida State played hard on Saturday, and their team's getting NIL. Like, that's not it. That's not the answer. But people are saying, it's NIL. They're not caring as much. What is it? Is it a lack of fear of repercussion? Does Bray think that he's not going to hear about it today when Kane Womack, you know, they watched the film on Saturday night and they got going on Sunday? Does he feel like he's not going to hear about it? Like, what is the reason why the defense played with zero edge the entire game?
I think it has to come down to leadership, and we can talk about coaching. It's another side to the argument. You just look at, I mean, a defense that lost Malachi and then you lose Miller on the offense. Those are your two vocal leaders. Quite frankly, I don't know if any of the other, you know, new leaders on the team have been able to step up and fill those shoes. That's what it looks like to me. It looks like a group kind of running around directionless. We've heard
who's
so
the
much.
Baddest player on the defense. Not athletically speaking, but which player on this Alabama defense do you not want to see in a dark alley? You remember Reuben Foster. I don't want to see him in a dark alley. He's going to hold everybody to an accountability. You remember Tony Brown would go crazy. I don't want to see him in a dark alley. Which player on this team is the player that, oh, the other 10, the other 9, the other, you know, 13, 14, you think about the backups, are afraid of, oh, I don't want player X to see me and get on my case because it's going to be a problem?
The fact that we have no answer for you, I mean, that tells us all.
Right, because there's a little bit of a degree that I think Tim Keenan was speaking up in that role, but was he going to play that way? I have no idea. I have no idea. And right now, based on what we saw on Saturday, you probably would have to guess no, he wasn't going to play that way. It's not Deontay. I mean, they're not intimidated by Deontay for sure, because they're seeing the same film we are. Keon and Bray are it's not them. I mean, they weren't plugged in. Damani, maybe. It might be Damani. Is Damani the only SOB on this defense? Is he the only SOB on this? I'm trying to think of a way to say it nicely. Is he the only son of a gun on this defense that it's got the dog in him, got the fight in him?
Would have liked to think we could pencil in LT Overton or someone into that role.
He did get a tackle for a loss, yeah, and was vocal in the second half, in the third quarter, when things were kind of going bad.
I think Domani's definitely the closest thing we got to that.
Theo, Everett Osmer says you should be the defensive coordinator. If you're the defensive coordinator, what are some of the things you would be doing to get this right in a week?
First of all, I am tearing everybody on that unit a new one as soon as, you know,
yesterday.
That's what I'm doing right now. That's where it all starts, because quite frankly, everyone just looks too apathetic. It does not seem like DeBoer and Womack really care all that much about the product that was being put on the field yesterday. That's unacceptable in every way, shape, and form. You know, I look at this defense. I look at the way that we were talking about them all summer, and I think we had some pretty good reasons to be as excited as we were to see this unit. To go out and have that kind of showing. To go out and just, not only do you get outplayed, you don't even really look like you're all that bothered about it. I've heard people say it was the best secondary in the country. Seriously, that is an argument that we were having with people over the summer.
could still be the best secondary pass defense wise. They definitely did, they didn't stuff the run like they were though.
They did not at all. And you know, like I'm not even all that mad about like, oh, Squirrel White gets by Dijon Lee for 40 yards. Like I'm not even all that worried about that in particular. Happens. Freshman's out there, you'll get beat. But just the whole second half of that game, is it just slow? Trying to think of the word, and I don't know where I was going with this, but just you just got they slowly imposed their will all over Alabama. And there's a lot to talk about with this defense, and there's a lot that everyone has every right to be upset about as Alabama fans.
All right, so the first thing that we're doing if we're the defensive coordinator is getting after him about the effort, because the effort was just unacceptable. That's a baseline deal. We can talk about the scheme and the 4-2-5/3-3-5. We can talk about the scheme not being, you know, not being really up to par for to play, you know, college football. We can talk about it being, you know, 3-2-6, whatever you want to talk about with a scheme that gets you upset. But nothing really matters until the effort jumps back up to, quote, the Alabama standard. And we've been hearing this, well, we're going to find the Bama standard again for the last 4 years, 5 years. And it's been a long time. It's been at least since 2020. I would almost give it to that 2021 team as well. They did make the national championship. I think they played fairly well through most of the year. But I think that's where your decline started to happen, where it's not life and death anymore. Well, you got to get back to a point defensively where it's life and death. Every yard is life and death. Playing with proper pad level is not a question mark. I mean, Deontay is the easy example, but the whole defense played with improper pad level and not playing low enough underneath their opponent. And when you give up 230 rushing yards, I mean, Florida State was underneath you and was in you, pushing you down the field pretty much to a man. And so that's really a concerning thing when you think about the next 11 games. Can you correct pad level? Can you correct effort? Because if you can't correct those two things, then your next 11 games, it doesn't matter what scheme you're calling. You can call the best plays in the world. If they're not trying hard, if they're not playing with proper technique, then it's not going to matter. And so, yeah, you're going to win this game coming up against ULM because ULM is terrible. I watched ULM on Friday afternoon. Their game against yes, they beat St. Francis 29-0. And they're an awful football team. They're awful on both fronts. So Alabama's offensive and defensive line will look better, but that's not an indication of anything. So you're going to win this coming Saturday, but like you got 10 more games of really nine because you get the Eastern Illinois game as well. You got nine games where you could lose any of them with improper pad level. Missouri looked really good. Vanderbilt looked like they took a step forward. So, like, where's the other gimme games on this schedule? Oklahoma looked good. LSU looked good. Auburn went on the road and won. They got it done. They didn't look like a complete offense, but they went on the road and got it done. Tennessee gets it done with Joey Aguilar. So, like, it doesn't really look – South Carolina looks like a national championship contender. Georgia as well. Like, you've got nine more games. Wisconsin really struggled, and they've got a little quarterback injury that may or may not, you know, affect our game as well. But you have at least eight games and maybe even nine games that are all losable from an effort standpoint from Saturday. If you just carbon copy that effort from Saturday over the next 11 games, then you have a chance to lose eight of them. And you really have a chance to lose nine of them, throwing Wisconsin in as well. Like that's simply an area that you cannot live with, period. If you ended up, like, if you're Texas today, you went to Ohio State and you lost by seven and you're feeling all sad, but you can look back and say, man, we tried hard. We left it all on the field. We held Ohio State to 14 points. The offense was just close enough in this area, just a step away in that area, XYZ, clean these things up. It's going to be a good year. You look at even Clemson. Oh, we lost a home to LSU. The effort was there. The effort was extremely high. But even Auburn, they had some things to clean up, obviously, and they were playing an inferior opponent, really, in Baylor than some of these other teams that I'm using. But their effort was at a level to where, hey, we're trying our best. So that's really where you got to start defensively. The next thing is I'm starting to think about this personnel in the inside linebacker room. How quickly do you tap Caden Jones and say, hey, buddy, you're getting a chance to go play inside linebacker this week because you got to grow up on the fly? I was really seeing ghosts of Dylan Moses out there when I was watching Deontay Lawson. And Dylan came back to Alabama after a knee injury and tried and had an okay season. No, had a subpar season, honestly. Had a subpar season, and all the entire year it was he's a liability on the inside and the inside. I think this is 18, Theo. I think this is 2018, 2019, for Dylan Moses. And then obviously goes undrafted and picks up with the Jags and whatever. I see very similar stories, unfortunately, with Dylan Moses and Deontay Lawson. Deontay came here, 4- or 5-star athlete out of Mobile Christian, and was a really good athlete, was an incredible athlete really in high school when I saw him, and just has never really stepped into, oh, I'm an alpha on the field. I'm going to take this incredible athleticism and become just a destroyer. He had some good games last year, but on the whole, majorly guessing gaps, trying to use athleticism, trying to get around offensive linemen rather than go through anyone. And so I'm pretty concerned still where you're at with the inside linebacker room. I think the effort is will tune up the secondary. Get in the secondary's rear end about effort on every play, life and death, XYZ. Bray Hubbard, do you want to play football or not? If you don't want to play football, if you want to go hunting, man, well, I get it. The woods are cool. Like, enjoy that. But I think the secondary personnel, I'm not as out on the personnel after 1 week in the secondary as I am really in the inside linebacker room. So just to clean up the effort in the secondary. But I think in that inside linebacker room, you're starting to think about getting some other guys ready ASAP, getting some other guys some experience. I know that you want to be loyal to Deontay Lawson for being loyal to you and for all the work that he did in his rehab. But if he's not ready, he's not ready. And Saturday told me that he is a long way away from being ready. And whether it's physically or mentally, it's one or the other. And I probably lean closer towards the mental side than it is the physical side because he's still guessing just like he was last year. He was hesitant off the football, which to me is all kind of mental, you know, cleaning up the mental side from an injury, which is really, really challenging. And maybe it is physical. Either way, what you got out of him on Saturday was just not good is a nice way to say it. Pathetic. It was pathetic.
It's a lack of instinct is how I would describe it. You look at the defense overall, and what really scares me is there's some things that are meant to be fixed up, right? A lot of times you'll have an issue arise and, yeah, okay, good. We know what we're struggling with. This is the time to get it cleaned up. We are messing up all of the stuff that was supposed to come together in the offseason.
Right.
And that is what's unacceptable because you're not going to fix every single one of these problems over the next, 2 weeks. You just had 2 months to do that. It feels like a continuation of last year to me. And I look at Auburn, right? The way that Jackson Arnold was moving the chains, the way like they're going to run all over this secondary or this front seven in its current form. Like it would be just a repeat of what we watched against FSU.
Yes. Auburn, Georgia, Gunnar Stockton was moving just a little bit, obviously against Marshall. Gunnar Stockton was moving a little bit. Lenora Sellers, oh my goodness, at South Carolina. I mean, think about the mobile guys you're going to see. Diego Pavia, you're going to see a lot of them. Aguilar can move just a little bit as well at Tennessee. It's going to become a huge problem, a huge, huge problem. And so, like, you got to decide, pretty much today, are you getting other inside linebackers repetitions? Is Nikaiho Green going to be able to give you more than what he gave you on Saturday? What he gave you Saturday, 3 total tackles, missing a bunch of tackles and being in the wrong gaps. Deontay Lawson, 6 total tackles, missing a bunch of tackles, jumping in the wrong gaps. Justin Jefferson, 6 tackles as well. Like, this defense calls for the inside linebackers to be bad men. And they just were far, far from that. It calls for you to see ball and get to the ball and hit it as soon as possible. These guys were not following the right read keys. He had several instances to where two guys were going at the same guy, and Castellanos is just pulling it out and running around right around everybody because everybody took the dive. I'm gonna pull it out and cruise for 7, 8, 9 yards. Like the discipline, the eye discipline was disgusting. And so, you know, am I hitting the panic button yet? Yes, I am. I am absolutely hitting the panic button with this Alabama defense. And like I really try not to overreact, but you should be reacting really, 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 really emphatically over this weekend, because if that's the inside linebacker play that you're going to get all year, then Ty Simpson has his margin for error just went way down. And we saw, we'll get to Ty Simpson here in a second, but the point being is Ty played like a first time starter. He had some ups, had some downs, he had some errors, but like, he's going to have to grow up as soon as possible, like sooner than possible. Yesterday is when he's going to need to grow up and become, you look like a veteran quarterback. He didn't look like a veteran quarterback on Saturday. He looked like an inexperienced quarterback trying to figure it out and doing an okay job, really. But no room for error if the defense is going to be playing like that. Oh, absolutely, absolutely horrible on Saturday, just effort-wise, schematically. I'm smashing the panic button on the defense, Theo.
I think you'd be crazy not to after what we watched on Saturday.
All right, any other defensive conversations you want to get into? We can talk about the bust. I mean, Deontay Lawson lets the running back go out of the backfield on him down the field for a wheel route. You already mentioned Squirrel White getting by Dejon Lee. My only issue with some of this is, you're playing so many guys. And DeBoer was talking about that after the game, that you know he was asked about specifically Caleb Edwards and London Simmons. That's who he was asked about after the game. Because these are two guys that they really haven't brought too much up in fall camp. Now, if you're listening to the show, you heard about London Simmons a decent bit. But talked about Caleb Edwards and London Simmons. Now Caleb Edwards playing tight end. We're talking about Dejon Lee and London Simmons and Isaiah Fonga, younger players. Zay Mincy falls into this as well.
Mincy was out there a lot.
Right. You played a lot of young guys on defense, and I'm not sure if that's really the answer. If you don't need to dial it in. Like, yes, we're talking about playing new players at inside linebacker, because I think that maybe your three inside linebacker candidates might be cooked, might be a little bit cooked, maybe a lot of it cooked. But I think the rest of the team, your frontline guys still are your frontline guys. The effort just wasn't good. And that is a question that I don't really understand. We'll ask about that later today. I'm sure we're going to talk to Kane Womack, Ryan Grubb, and Kalen DeBoer here in just a little bit. We will ask about the effort for sure. But the frontline guys are still the frontline guys. I do think that maybe they're a little quick to put young guys out there. Now, London Simmons, he's got to play because of the Tim Keenan situation. But still, like, I'm a little hesitant to put some of these young guys out here in such a huge moment. This week against ULM, great chance to put them all out there, because ULM is terrible on tape. They're awful on tape. And maybe it was just a bad job evaluating tape, evaluating the Florida State tape, evaluating old UCF tape, evaluating all these transfers and trying to figure out how they're all going to fit together. It just perfect storm defensively. You got anything else on the defense before we move on?
I think we've said plenty. I'm ready to move on to this offense.
All right, so I'm going to hit a little break, and we will move on to the Alabama offense, because lots to get into with Ty Simpson's first start. The offensive line, did Alabama run the football enough? And Ryan Williams. We'll be back to talk more about Alabama losing to Florida State right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central.
Get ready, Tuscaloosa. New Era Wrestling presents the Crimson Clash. The hottest local wrestling show in town slams into Two Dimes on Thursday, September 11th. Witness the chaos as social media sensation Big Trouble Ben Bishop brings his larger-than-life swagger to the ring. The man is 6'12", he weighs 15% of a metric ton, and is bringing every bit to Tuscaloosa. Feel the heat when our new champion, Sleazy C, Caden Newton, defends the open title. And don't miss the brutal street fight between the modern-day Kings and the unstoppable force known as the Draw. It's the same weekend as Alabama hosting Wisconsin, so keep the Tuscaloosa energy high with the Crimson Clash. Doors open at 7 p.m. and the bell rings at 8 p.m. at Two Dimes on the Strip. Grab your tickets now on Eventbrite by searching New Era Wrestling and use promo code RADIO for 20% off. New Era Wrestling, where legends are made and the battles are epic.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
Yeah, that'll help if we unmute ourselves. We're back here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. Hanging out live in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. Call Derek for all of your insurance needs at 205-758-3391. You can call us. Oh, yeah, you can call us on the voicemail machine. Let's go ahead and hit our voicemails right here. 205-462-7340, extension 800.
What's up, guys? It's Dax. The only prediction I got right was Ty Simpson passing yards. And guess what? Ty had some, you know, first start jitters, but he's not the reason we lost the game. Oh, my Lord, Kane Womack. When the bus is headed back, when you go through Mobile, you better chunk that boy out the window. Leave Kane Womack in Mobile and tell him to never step foot on campus again. Their freaking offense handled our defense like Shane Gillis's cousin handled the dang grilled cheese. What is that? We had no pass rush. Like, our defensive line looked like freaking toddlers trying to get past a freaking brick wall. It wasn't even funny. Like, dude, Thomas Castellanos was just running circles around us and passing. Like, what was all that preseason hype about our defensive backs being the best in the nation? What? What was that? Huh? Preseason hype? Out the window. Also, Ty would have done better if our offensive line wasn't letting people through like it was freaking air. Like, what in the bleep? What was that, Alabama? Oh, my Lord. Okay, my blood pressure's rising tremendously. I need to quit. But, oh! All right. Oh, man, that was a headache and a half to watch, man. I get Ty Simpson could do really good this season if our offensive line wasn't acting like, you know, our offensive line the past four or five freaking years. Like everybody saying, oh, Alabama's offensive line's like the best, one of the best units in the country. Well, we had four returning starters, but guess what? Those starters last year were not the best in the country, so what made people expect that they were going to be any better this year? What just happened? Love you guys. Roll Tide. We'll get him next week.
So, like, what is this standard that everyone talks about? Like, Parker Brailsford, Deontay Lawson, Tim Keenan. Is the standard going 9-3? Is it going 10-2? Is it making the playoffs? Like, what is the standard in your own words? That's what I'm trying to say. Maybe I should ask them that or somebody that on Tuesday, because please enlighten me, because this is not the standard of Alabama football I grew up watching. I mean, like, we don't really have any fire or really accountability in anything that we do. We're just out there going through the motions. I mean, last year against Georgia, that might have been the flukiest win ever in my lifetime by Alabama, ever. Like, we're not even the same team since then. Very pathetic and borderline embarrassing.
There's Dax and Hunter on the voicemail machine. You can call the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800. Oh, Dax was not happy. Hunter was not happy. Theo, what do you think about those guys?
Love hearing from both of them, but Hunter hit the nail on the head. What is the standard? That sums up all the discourse that I think we're seeing this week. The Bama team that lives up to the Bama standard that I used to know does not go out and do any of that in Tallahassee. What is the standard?
The standard's 9-3 apparently right now. Standard's 8-4 because they're looking at it right now. They're looking at 8-4. They're looking at 7-5. They're in trouble. They are in trouble. Now let's talk about the offensive side of the football, because we just spent most of the time on the defense, and I think that the defense is pretty self-explanatory with the poor linebacker play, not using your eyes, very disciplined and playing with poor pad level and effort. Offensively, all the talk was supposed to be about Ty Simpson and how he was going to play. I went through the Ty Simpson tape a couple times, and I think he played about a C-plus level. I think he played fine. I think he played okay. He was, 23 of 43? Is that what I have? 23 of 21? Yeah, 23 of 43 for 254 yards, 2 touchdowns. He ran the ball 9 times for 19 yards. Is that what I have? 9 for 17 yards. Yeah, thank you. I think that he played a lot like a first-time starting quarterback to me. I think he played, you can't expect too much more. He didn't turn the football over. Think back to Jalen Milroe's first start. He turned the ball over 3 or 4 times against Texas A&M, replacing Bryce Young. He didn't play like Bryce Young, but he's also playing on the road. I think playing on the road, I mean, Theo, you talked about it at the very beginning. That war chant was going. I think that Ty played fairly well for the environment. But Ty didn't get really a whole lot of help. You need to pick up your first-time starting quarterback. You need to help your first-time starting quarterback. The offensive line gave up. You had the 2 sacks, but I think it was over 13, 14 pressures on the day, 3 or 4 quarterback hits, 3 or 4 quarterback hits. And the offensive line, I mean, the run game outside of, I mean, that first drive, after that first drive, I was on cloud 9. Because I thought, wow, if this is what the offense is going to be this year, grinding it out, leaning on the running game, just making people feel you, wow, you do that all game, Florida State's really going to be in trouble towards the end of the game. They were only able to do it the one drive. Yeah. Lots to get into offensively, whether it be Ryan Grubb and his plan to put the ball in Ty Simpson's hand 43 times. First time starting quarterback on the road, you're going to ask him to throw 43 passes. I feel like that was a little bit absurd, but I am not Ryan Grubb. We can talk about Ryan Williams dropping 3 passes, officially 2 on the stat broadcast sheet, but Pro Football Focus had him dropping 3, even on that play that he got hurt towards the end. I mean, the ball's in your hands. That's Ryan Williams.
You gotta make.
You got 3 or 4 opportunities to help Ty Simpson out. Josh Cuevas with a drop as well. I just thought that the offense as a whole, like people wanted to, you want to talk about Ty because he's a first-time starter, but you know, I give Ty a C+. I don't give the offense a whole lot better than that. Probably even worse as a whole, C-minus. The offense better be glad that the defense played at an F- level, because if the defense played any sort of good, and they lost the game 20-17 because of all these missed opportunities. What, they missed 3 fourth down opportunities. One missed field goal, 40-50 something yards, which that's another conversation as well. But I think the offense, you know, nobody played good. Nobody played well. And the offense did, I guess, fine.
Fine is a perfect word for it. Look, like I came in saying, yeah, like I think we'll see Ty throw a first half pick while he's trying to adjust. He didn't do that, but he wasn't lights out. He was not super concerned with Ty. I think my view of Ty Simpson is one of the few things that hasn't changed from this one game. It's the way I view a lot of other things on this team has. I think Ty still is what we thought he was. I am just so disappointed in this team's ability to run the football. And I'm also starting to think that, you know, our lack of concern after the Jam Miller injury us going out and basically saying, yeah, like we think that we trust these guys to just come out and get it done still. That faith is gone. That we need Jam Miller back as soon as possible.
You think it's a Jam Miller issue or rather than the, you know, rather than these running backs? I mean, these running backs did fine to me. 5 carries, 31 yards for Kevin Riley, 9 for 26 for Richard Young. You had Daniel Hill 3 for 9 yards. So like you're averaging on the whole those guys, Jerry Washington 2 carries, 1 yard. The running backs averaged almost 4 yards a carry, 3.36 or 3.68, something like that. So almost 4 yards a carry for the running backs.
It was uninspiring to me. It was. You can talk about problems with the line. You can talk about any issue you want, but at the end of the day, I just don't think these guys were running the ball at the level that they should be, at the level we need them to. I mean, Kevin Riley showed more heart out there than just about anyone on the field.
The Wildcats.
Kevin Riley impressed me a lot. Gotta love the local talent.
I thought he was impressive, slipping through the line and exploding. I thought he picked his gaps pretty well. 5 for 31. My issue is you're asking Ty Simpson to throw the ball 43 times. Like Florida State wasn't really that far ahead of Alabama, even at 31-17. That's 2 touchdowns. All you got to do is get in the end zone. All you got to like you're at goodness gracious, you are 14. You're at 24-14. Is that right?
Yeah.
You were at 24-14 for a while.
Or no, it's 24. It was 24-10, and then we scored to make it 24-17, and then they immediately answered.
Okay. Yes. Exactly. So you're at 24-10, and all you got to do is go score a touchdown to get that touchdown to take it what to 24-17. And yes, they did re-answer. But like I felt like Alabama was feeling the pressure of the game and abandoned the run game in the third quarter. When you just need the one touchdown to make this thing closer again, you can take another 7-8 minute drive as long as it ends in points. And they messed around a lot in the third quarter, abandoning the running game. I was not impressed with the offensive line. I was not impressed with Caden Proctor. Wilkin did okay. He didn't do great, but he did okay. He was serviceable. I was not really impressed with Geno. I was not really impressed with Parker and Cam either. The only time a running back gave up a sack, you know, we were talking about Jam Miller and where you'd miss him is pass protection. Daniel Hill stepped up on a 5-man pressure and danced with a linebacker for a second before the linebacker got around him for a sack. I just think that for a first-time starter, Ty just wasn't really helped out by the rest of the team around him. And Ryan dropping passes, Ryan going up with one hand on that slant that dropping the screen pass, not focusing on the screen pass that probably would have turned into 7-8 yards. Like you need to stay on schedule. One of my big keys to the game was winning on first down to stay on schedule. You need to stay on schedule. You weren't able to do that. And then you're asking Ty to make plays on 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9 that turn into 4th and 3s. Just drive me crazy. The big decision for Ty to me, obviously, and to everybody else, is the 4th and 7 and on 3rd down where he did end up throwing it to Ryan Williams, who it was short. Like that was the other part for Ty. Ty's accuracy wasn't great. It was not bad, but it wasn't great either. You have that pass to Ryan Williams that you could have run on 4th and 7 that you were short and behind. You have the pass to Kevin Riley on 4th and 5 as he was coming across the formation. Well, if you throw that ball out in front of him, he probably catches it and goes for a 1st down. Instead, it was high and behind him. He slows down. He jumps in the air to catch it, and he's tackled before he can get to a 1st down line. Like you have just some slight accuracy issues. Even the very first pass of the game, you got Jeremy Bernard on an out route that you throw behind him. Well, Jeremy was wide ass open, so Jeremy stopped and caught it on a knee. And so, yeah, it was a 15-16 yard reception. So great, everybody's moving, but it could have been 23-25 yards because if you'd have thrown it out in front of him. Like his accuracy issues weren't detrimental, but they also weren't very good. He had another one to Cuevas where Cuevas is running as a crosser and he's throwing it behind him. Well, Cuevas is only able to get like 2 yards instead of 4, 5, 6 because you didn't throw it out in front of him. Like the placement matters. So was Ty he was fine. I mean, he was fine. He had a couple passes to Jeremy that Jeremy turned into some good yardage, but other than that, it was C ball, throw ball. Like he was late on some passes. He was late on some decisions if frankly it was Jalen Milroe throwing those passes, Jalen would have been crucified for being late. Now, at least Ty got there. Jalen last year struggled to even get there to a check down, and Ty did get to some check downs, but he didn't play like a Bryce Young, Tua Tagovailoa level to where he's elevating the offense. And so because of that, you need these guys to help you out. You need to not have the sacks. You need to not have the quarterback pressures. I think I saw Pro Football Focus. He was 20 of 29 when he was unpressured. The rest of the stuff was from pressure. And so just not good enough. So that makes what, three for 14, 3 for 15 under pressure, roughly. Just not good enough from the quarterback position to deal with the problems that were happening on the offense. The lack of a traditional running game, the lack of protection in the passing game, and never knowing who's going to drop the freaking football. Catch the ball, guys, when it's out there. Because at least on a couple of the times to Ryan, the ball was in a fine place for him to catch the ball.
There's no excuse to be dropping some of those. And Ryan, I mean, obviously I don't think we'll see him until Georgia at this point. Regardless, I mean, he cannot have another performance like that. We need him to be the player, at least half the player we thought he was going to be coming in. Like, I don't know. I'm not good at gauging concussions and how long it'll take to return, but would you expect him out there in 2 weeks against Wisconsin, Joe?
Maybe. But to me, I wonder if he's also dealing with other injuries.
Well, that's what I was thinking coming in, because you look at him out on the field and we hadn't heard anything about other injuries, had we?
No. But the last thing that I heard in the second scrimmage was Ryan didn't get that many passes thrown to him in the second scrimmage. Now, reportedly, he did score a touchdown. But to me, his play on Saturday looked like something else was going on, whether he had a wrist injury, whether it was a finger or hand issue. People are talking about, oh, this anxiety T-Rex that he was carrying in there. Like, I don't give a rip about that. But like, to me, it looked like something else was bothering him. That's why he's dropping these passes.
Did not feel like the player he was last year at all.
Right, exactly. And so I have no idea what's really going on with him. People are, well, he's 18 now, so you know. And, oh, well, he's got all this NIL. Oh, he spends all his time on TikTok and Twitch. Okay. I don't give into that too much, because I don't think that's, I mean, that didn't change him in a year, did it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Theo, you look tired.
I'm tired of watching this team. That's
already?
I guess I'm tired of watching these highlights, because I watched the game, watched the quick highlight cut right after, watched the 35-minute condensed game, nothing but clips online. I'm ready for this game week to be over.
Well, what do you think we have left to talk about? Decision-making on fourth down from the coaching staff?
Yeah, I mean, we have a larger conversation as a whole to have about coaching.
Yeah, for sure. So let's give them 5 minutes on some of that. I'll roll my eyes at it, but you saw it everywhere. Fire DeBoer, fire Womack. You heard Hunter Brantley, Dax, leave Womack in Mobile. I'll just say it, that I feel like that's a little silly. But what do we feel like with these coaches? Do you have confidence that this coaching staff can get the team go one on the right track and staying on the right track in the next 2 weeks?
To some degree, I do still.
Why?
I think that my biggest problem right now is that we are dealing with issues as a team that nobody was anticipating, that no one was really forecasting as much as we saw them. Part of me thinks, like, did we get fully drifted or grifted by DeBoer and his staff? Like, and I get the argument because that's what a lot of people say. A lot of people watch what happened and they're just thinking, man, how did we get fooled? How did we buy into this? There are a lot of legitimate reasons that we bought into Kalen DeBoer as a coach, and we bought into the job that it looked like he was doing. We bought into the idea that he was going to turn things around. I'm not ready to fully give up on that yet. But my panic button has gone off 12 times over. What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot of confidence. I'll say that. Now, I'm prepared to be wrong. I'm trying to fight an overreaction here. But you've now lost. They've put it all out there. 3 of the last 4 games or whatever. Dating back to last year's Oklahoma game. And the 3 losses have all been in the same sort of fashion. Punch you in the mouth, run the football, you know, slow down your offense. I think it's been a minute since Alabama has scored that much offensively. I think that the alarm bell should be going off in the Alabama coaching staff room. My confidence level doesn't really matter here. But I got 4.5 out of 10 that these guys can fix things going forward. And fix things meaning play competent football. Play competent football. I mean, you're gonna smash ULM. They're not good on either front. Wisconsin might end up being a game, and golly, that's scary to think about. Then you're going over to Georgia, and that's gonna be a wild time. Like every time you've played on the road for the last handful of times has been absolutely horrific. Like, is there an issue going on the road? You're seeing posts about the team being out till late, door dashing food late in the hotel rooms. I'm not sure if they just need to rework their entire road trip plan or what. But no, I don't have a whole lot of confidence that this coaching staff. I mean, the rest of the road schedule, we did it all summer long, that the road schedule is brutal. And we were always assuming that they would pull one out at Florida State, but Georgia and South Carolina would be really challenging, and maybe Missouri would be a sleepy morning. Like, Auburn, really challenging. Like the road schedule is still all out there in front of you. Are you going to go 3-1 the rest of the road schedule? You better, because if you don't, you're going to be missing the playoffs. And all this talk about last year not being good enough, well, last year's going to be as good as it gets. And that's a scary thought here.
It's a terrifying thought.
Right. My confidence level in the coaching staff getting it right is about 4.5.
Yeah, I mean, I'd still lean a little higher. It's one game. I don't want to.
It's one game, but the losing style has become a style in the last 4, 5, 6 games.
It absolutely has. And you talk as much as we can talk about, oh, DeBoer, look, he kept the whole team together. Everyone's fully bought in. We didn't lose anyone in the spring portal. And then to go out and do this.
It's pretty embarrassing. It's pretty embarrassing. Gus Malzahn, he laid it all out there on the table, and Kane Womack and company could not answer. So we'll see how the team continues the rest of the year. Obviously, we'll be right here all game long, all year long. But this week is ULM. We'll start getting ready for ULM in a day or so. We'll give you another day to mourn this season opening loss. You can call us on the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800. If you want to leave your reaction for the program, we'll keep talking about breaking down this loss tomorrow with Mason, get his reaction. I'm sure that Mason's not going to take a victory lap over Ty Simpson's play or not, or maybe he will. We'll see. We'll be back here with Mason. We're going to go talk to Kalen DeBoer, to Kane Womack, to Ryan Grubb. So you can follow that on the Bama Central YouTube channel. Let us know if you have comments for them, questions for them, questions for us at JoeGaither6, at Theo_Fernandez_. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here! Right now, score up to 80% off everything home. These are our best deals of the year. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.